Open your Bibles to James chapter 5, verse 12. I'll tell you, God is so good, and He blesses us all the time and with way more than we deserve or more than we can even think or imagine. And it's just a joy to serve Him and to walk with Him and to see God moving and working in our lives in spite of us. And so I pray that tonight will be an encouragement to each one of us as men, to be the men that God would have us to be, to be able to stand up against the world and the tide of this world that would seem to be increasingly turning against us, against the Word of God, against that which is truth. And do everything they can to attempt to silence the truth. But God's word will not be silenced. In Nepal, starting on Thursday, the government of Nepal has said that they will begin to enforce what's known as the anti-conversion law there, which basically says it is against the law to change your religion or to try and get somebody to change their religion. And so whatever religion you were born into, by law, you have to remain in that religion, and you can't change. And if you were to go, and it's really directed at the Christians, they make no bones about it, because the Christians are the ones that are the ones that are out there evangelizing, that they're telling them they don't care if you're Nepali or an American, or who you are, that if you try and share the gospel, you will go to jail automatically for 5 years. And they said, you think your American passport's going to get you out of it? Yeah, you'll get deported, but it'll be after you spend 5 years in prison. And so, it's not so much a worry for us because we come in and go. It's the church there in Nepal. And when I was talking to the guys there, and I said, what are you going to do? And they said, we're going to do what we always do. And if they want to take us to jail, they can take us to jail. And the gospel will spread and flourish even under or even because, they said, of the persecution, the gospel will spread. And it is spreading. As a matter of fact, you know, there are many of the young Hindus that are going, well, you know, why are you making such an effort to hide or keep us from these other religions, especially Christianity? And they're turning to Christianity because of it. So, you know, it is backfiring on them. James 5:12, but above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes, and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Let's pray. Father God, as we come before you tonight, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done, are doing, and will do in our midst. We thank you, Lord, that as we look at what has been foretold in Daniel and Ezekiel and Revelation, as we go through Revelation, Lord, that we are even more aware that we seem to be in the last days. And so, Lord, we do say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But, Lord, until you come, we want to occupy. We want to be about your work. We want to be doing the things that you have called us to do as men. So strengthen us for that, we pray. Open up our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, in John, in chapter 18, when Jesus was appearing before Pilate, and Pilate said, you know, who are you? and are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, and he said, my kingdom's not of this world. And he said in verse 37, I have come into the world that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said to him, what is truth? What is truth? Truth is so subjective today. It's kind of a moving target. Today, truth is one thing. Tomorrow, truth is another thing. If you were here Sunday, you heard about this new bill going through our assembly. I think it's AB 2943. And basically what it says is it will be a crime in California for a pastor or a counselor or anybody that is in a paid role or in the position of a counselor to try and counsel somebody out of the homosexual sin. I'm not even going to call it a lifestyle. I'm going to call it what it is. It's a sin. And that will be against the law. And as a result of that, if this law passes, that we could be fined or imprisoned. Because we love someone enough to tell them the truth. I was at a city hall yesterday, and I went to use the restroom, and I'm like standing there, and there's two doors, and they both say all gender restrooms. And I thought, I never thought we would be here. I never thought in my lifetime that we would be where we are today, where the truth is called a lie, and a lie is now called the truth. And as a result of this, what kind of men are we to be? Are we willing to stand up as a light, as a beacon of what is true? What is truth? Are we willing to be men of our word? How are we known in the workplace? In a time when what's valued the most is how far ahead you can get. And how you get there or what you have to do to get there, whether it's lie, cheat, or steal, doesn't matter. It only matters that you get ahead. Have we fallen into that? What's our reputation in the community, in the workplace? And most importantly, what is our reputation in our own families? In chapter 5 here of James, James has been speaking of what we're to spend our time, efforts, and resources are, that we're not to be consumed with amassing wealth, corrupted by our quest for material gain. Instead, we're to be looking for the coming of the Lord. Guys, come on, look around us. Look at what's going on. And yeah, on the one hand, it's like totally discouraging, and on the other hand, it's totally exciting because we're in the last days. Jesus said it was going to be this way, as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, it was going to be this way. And what that means for us as Christians is our time here is short. And how many of us are wasting time chasing after that ever elusive goal of having, quote, enough? Because we never will. As it says in Proverbs, that our wealth will take up wings and fly away. So many of us will put our walks with the Lord on hold while we try to get ahead. We'll compromise. We'll fudge the truth a little bit. And we justify it by saying, well, you know, everyone else does. That's just the way things are done in business. But is that who we are to be in light of these times? There is really no more appropriate verse than verse 12 here, because it is James' exhortation to be men of our word. So in light of the times in which we live, I want to look quickly at three characteristics of who we are to be. And those are, number one, we're to be men of honor. Number two, we're to be men of character. And number three, we're to be men who are secure in our future. The first exhortation is to be men of honor. The Jews in James' time used to have what they called binding and non-binding oaths. And it's really kind of like when you were a kid and used to say something that you knew was a lie, but in order to make yourself feel better, what'd you do? You crossed your fingers and put it behind your back. And when somebody said, "Hey, you lied," you could say, "Hey, I had my fingers crossed." So we grew up. And the Jews in those days said, well, you know, if you make an oath and it's sworn upon anything but God, then it's non-binding. You don't have to keep it. In other words, you can lie. And, you know, it would be like, "I swear as the sky is blue and the grass is green that I'm telling the truth." And then it's like, well, you know, the sky's not always blue. And frankly, the grass out in front of my house is brown. So, but if you swore an oath to God, then that was binding and you had to keep it. That was never, ever God's heart. What is the origin of truth? As Pilate said, "What is truth?" He should have asked, "Where's truth from?" In John chapter 1, verse 14, you know, in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was a word, and the word was with God, and the word was God." And then in verse 14, it says, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So, truth came from Jesus. Matter of fact, Jesus also, when he was talking to his disciples, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So if we want to seek after what's true, seek Jesus. If we want to be a man of truth, a man of honor, then put on Christ. We need to be men of honor. It seems like that just doesn't happen anymore today. Even common courtesy or chivalry. You know, sometimes you take a gamble. If you open a door for a woman, that you're either going to get thanked or cussed out. I can open my own door. Fine, don't let it hit you on the way out, you know. No, I didn't say that. But we've forgotten. We've forgotten what it means to have honor. And there are so many different cultures, and there are so many different definitions of honor. My own ethnic background, you know, the Japanese were really big on honor. And part of that included, if something went wrong, killing yourself. I'm like, I don't want to be that honorable of a guy, you know. But if we really want to know honor, if we really want to know truth, if we really want to know what it means to be a man, then let's look at Jesus. Everything he said he would do, he did. Everything that God said millenniums earlier, when he told Satan, you'll bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. He did it. When Isaiah predicted a suffering Savior who was pierced for our transgressions, by his stripes we were healed, he did it. Though the nation of Israel constantly turned their back on God, constantly made false and empty promises, we will serve you and you alone. And then they would go the other way. I'm in the book of Judges in my daily reading, and you know, it's just like, you know, they'll have a judge, they'll be walking with the Lord, and then that judge will die, and all of a sudden it says, and they did evil in the sight of the Lord until things got really bad, and then they cried out to God again. And, you know, if I were God, I would have said, too bad, you blew it. Fool me once, you know, however that goes. But God kept his word. He told them, you are my special people, and they were, and they still are today. Because God is a God of truth. Those of us who are married have all made a solemn vow and oath before God and witnesses to love, honor, and cherish our wives. Are we keeping our word? Are we honoring the vows that we made to God and our wives? Has sin gotten in the way? We must be men of honor. And maybe we've messed up. I know that. But the way back is repentance. And maybe some of us here tonight need to repent. Need to turn back to the Lord and say, Jesus, I've lost sight of who you are. And I followed my own way, and I see that the road I'm following is not the road of truth, but lies. Forgive me. I want you, Jesus. Men of honor are not perfect. Men of honor are willing to admit when we're wrong, repent, and then turn. Secondly, we must be men of good character. Men make vows because they need to add veracity to what they were saying, because their own word wasn't good enough. It wasn't too long ago that multi-million dollar deals were made based on a handshake. And that would never happen today. You have reams and reams of documentation and contracts and attestations and promises, bonds, insurance. Because our word's no good. It's so sad, too, that in much of the business world today, many Christians don't have a good reputation for being men of their word. Some of my friends that are in business have told me, you know, I hate to say this, but some of my worst employees are Christians. Either we're so busy trying to convert other people on the job that we don't do our job, or maybe we feel like because we're only responsible to the Lord and we're forgiven anyways, that we can do whatever we want. If we say yes to something, we need to follow through. I want the testimony of my life to be one of good character. One of my favorite men in modern times, besides Billy Graham, is John Wooden. He was a good Bruin. But he said, "Be more concerned with your character than your reputation, because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are." And then there was the exhortation of Jesus in Matthew 5:33, when he said, "Again, you have heard it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform your oaths to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one." Now, Jesus wasn't instituting a rule here saying, don't ever make an oath. There are some that have interpreted that, and when they go to court and they're asked to raise their right hand, and you know, they said, "Do you solemnly swear in the matter now pending to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?" They'll say, "I cannot swear an oath. It's against my religion." And that's not what Jesus is saying. Even God made oaths, and if you read in Hebrews 6:13, that God didn't have anything else or anyone else to swear by, so he swore by himself. What Jesus was saying here is, hey, you know what? There's no such thing as a binding and non-binding oaths, because whatever you swear upon is God's creation. So it's all holy, and it all leads back to God. But better yet, just be a man of your word. Be of good character, such that people know if we say we will do something, that we'll do it. And we won't have to swear an oath, because our word is good. We were talking when the leaders were meeting tonight before our session, that when we were in James and Carol, my wife Carol and I and James were in Nepal, that we had an opportunity last week to go back and visit a leper colony that we've been going to. And you know, leprosy is something that to us is just in the Bible. But in Nepal, it's very real. And there actually are colonies full of people that have leprosy that have been pushed out of their families, pushed out of their society, rejected by everyone. If you get leprosy, you are taken and dropped off at the leper colony. And for most of them, you'll never see your family again. And you're never allowed to leave to go back into the regular community. And it's not like you can sneak back, because, you know, as leprosy advances and the nerves go dead and you know, you begin to lose fingers and hands and feet. And so it is very apparent to everyone that you're a leper. And people will at all costs avoid you, even those that are your family. And so we started to go to the leper colony when we first went. I think the first time we went was back in 2015. And we got kind of a lukewarm welcome. Matter of fact, one woman was like, "I don't want you guys. Get out of here. Don't even talk to me." And then the second time we went back, she said, "I really don't want to talk to you, but you can sit here." And Judy, one of the ladies on our team, just sat with her for an hour and a half, 2 hours. And the next time, a group went back, she said, "Hey, you Christians, can you come over and talk to me?" Eventually, last year, she accepted the Lord, and then she went home to be with him. But one of the things that she said is, "I know that Christianity is real because you guys said you would come back, and you did. You kept your word." Because they said, "People come here all the time, but we never see them again. And they promise us all kinds of things, but they never come through." People are watching. And they're watching how it is that we act, how it is that we behave. Our kids are watching us. Please, guys. Those of us that have kids, it's not too late, even if they're older, to say, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I didn't keep my word. I'm sorry that I didn't have the honor or the character that I should have." If we are men of honor, if we are men of character, and that honor and that truth comes from our relationship with Jesus, then the last exhortation is to be secure in our future, and we will be. He says we should let our yes be yes and our no, no, lest we fall into judgment. Now, we aren't just to be men of honor and good character because we're facing judgment, but if we are men of good character and men of honor and men who are walking with Jesus, we don't have to fear the judgment. But the implication here would be towards those who are unbelievers. They don't care about breaking their word because they don't have a moral standard. If we can continually lie, cheat, and steal, and yet still call ourselves Christians, we need to seriously consider this. Am I a Christian? Is there, though, a fear of God in us? Not just a fear of the judgment, not just a fear of, "Oh, if I don't do right, God's going to punish me." Because as Christians, those of us that truly have a born-again relationship with Jesus, we don't face that final judgment for sin. But that does not mean that we can behave any way we want now. Because of who we are, because we know that we're on our way to heaven, because we know that we are not citizens of this earth, but we are citizens of heaven, it should make us men of truth who keep their word. Who we are as men of God has a bearing on everyone around us. It reflects not only upon us, but even more importantly, upon Jesus. Our friends, our co-workers, and family members should see Jesus in us. They should see a difference in us that would draw them to a Savior, that would draw them to ask for a reason for the hope that lies within us. If we act just like the rest of the world, there is nothing there that would draw them to Christ. But if we're different, if we stand out, they will take notice. And they will ask, "Why are you different?" We don't have to stand there with a sandwich board, you know, saying the end of the world is near. We just need to live our lives for Jesus Christ. We just need to walk in the truth. We just need to be men that others can count on, that others can trust in our word. And if we are that, the world will take notice. But also, guys, we need to be men that are willing to stand up for the truth, willing to say, "You know what? Homosexuality is a sin. It's not an alternative lifestyle. It is a sin. I was reading that today that I believe it's the nominee, new nominee for Secretary of State, that he's going through the confirmation hearings, and they said, you know, one point in, I forgot when he said it, you know, several years ago, you said that you believe that homosexuality was a sin and a perversion and it was against God. Do you still believe that? And his answer was, yes, I do. Praise the Lord. He's willing to stand up for the truth. We need to pray that he gets in. You know, I've heard others that have criticized our president because of the truth. And we need to stand out. We need to be different. We need people to look at us and say, so that's what a Christian is. I can trust him and not what the rest of the world models. Father God, I pray that you would do that work in each one of us, that we would be able to stand for the truth, that we would be able to walk in you, because you are the way, the truth, and the life. Help us, Lord, to seek you. But Lord, we need your strength. We need you, because we can't do this on our own. In and of ourselves, we're weak. And in our flesh, we have a tendency to go the opposite direction of the truth. Help us, Lord, to take a stand for what's right, to walk in the truth in our homes, in our workplace, in our neighborhood, wherever we are, may we be known as men of honor. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.